Hello, and welcome to the third episode of The Melting Pot here at St. Ignatius High School. I'm your host, Everett Allen Hood. Today we have the President and Vice President of the Multicultural Student Union, Ian Healy and Joe Salinas Rosa, classes of 2021. We hope whoever tunes into this podcast enjoys. So, to start off, why don't you two introduce a little bit about yourselves?
Yeah, thankful to be here, Joe Salinas Rosa, as you mentioned. The vice president of the Multicultural Student Union. It's truly an honor to hold this position as a senior since thinking back to my freshman year. When I first joined MSU, it was like it was it opened up like a pathway to like how to better like I guess how to adapt to like such a different environment that it was St. Ignatius High School. Like, I'm a Hispanic American kid, and like, I live in the inner city of Cleveland, so I'm sure that you can see that this is like an environment that's completely different. And so I sort of just learned how to adapt and like move around Ignatius. And then these were two positions that I admire since my freshman year, and it's just an honor to be in one as a senior now.
When you say adapt, do you mean like the difference between perhaps your grade school and in your childhood versus your time here now at St. Ignatius High School?
Yeah, so something that like a lot of my friends know may or may not know, and some people that just know me overall may or may not know. I'm actually like from Puerto Rico. I was born and raised there, and I came here when I was 12 years old, and I came into the inner city of Cleveland, so I went to school at San Rocco's, which is pretty like a very small school compared to Ignatius. So that jump was kind of I wouldn't say overwhelming because I was excited. I'm not even gonna lie. This was a great like thing whenever I seen that acceptance letter, and I truly wanted to come here, so it was a blessing to get in. But it was kind of like, being the way I like, I'm obviously like different compared to like the majority of the students here at Ignatius. Even though Ignatius does a great job at welcoming like all its students and making them members of their family, it was still kind of hard. But MSU showed how to like instead of like assimilate to this culture, how to embrace your own culture and share it with amongst your peers in order for you to feel more at home as well. So that's kind of what I mean by adapt, I guess.
Well, to add on, I was w wondering back to your point on adapting. Do you think some students struggle here with adapting to the school? If so, how can we improve that?
I mean, I can't really speak for everybody, but I can sort of generalize, and it's not only students who are like just minorities, such as like Hispanic Americans or Black Americans, African Americans that come to Ignatius that may feel a little bit excluded. It might just be like other students as well that just come into this big campus, new culture, Catholic, Jesuit Catholic culture that they might have never even like heard of in their life, and then now it's like their home for 4 years. So I definitely think that some students do struggle in that aspect. But like I said, Ignatius does a great job at like making their students feel welcomed and like making them feel at home for 4 years. It's just that the Multicultural Student Union just does a like an extra puts forth an extra effort, I guess, into like making sure that students feel well and welcomed and are able to prosper in this environment that is St. Ignatius High School.
Well, thank you for the introduction. I'll turn off to Ian. So, could you introduce yourself a little?
Hey, like Everett mentioned, I'm Ian Healy, senior and president of Multicultural Student Union. I've been involved with the organization since beginning of freshman year, and it's been probably the one I've been involved with the most and longest. And similar to Joe, it's just really great and to be in a position of leadership with him and the other people involved. And I honestly didn't think I'd get here before. But yeah.
Well, out of curiosity, what was your background like, or what was grade school like compared to now?
It was both similar and different in a lot of stark ways. I was born and raised in, well, no, I was raised in Westlake since I was born in Cleveland, and went to the public schools there. And for those who don't know, Westlake is one of the, I'd say one of the better, if not best by numbers and success rate wise, of the public schools in the county, especially on the west side. And it was, the education itself was fine, but my experience with the kids there, who the demographics are pretty similar to a lot of the standard what you'd expect out of who Ignatius kids are, more white upper middle class, upper class kids, almost a lot Christian and even Catholic in Westlake, that even though my extended family on both sides, especially my mom's side, who's very present, whose family's been present in Cleveland for a long time, was Catholic, and I grew up Protestant in the United Church of Christ for various reasons. I just didn't mix well and did not have a pleasant experience there. Part of why I ended up going to Ignatius, and a lot of those same, you know, type and degree of kids are here, but it's different with both the lack of the other sex being present, which I think is one of the funny benefits about it, even though a lot of people who think of Ignatius haven't gone or in for whatever reason kind of dread about it or don't like about it, but it's actually, but also gets rid of a lot of the kind of BS and drama, and how boys may or may not act out because of the presence of the girls, especially when they lack maturity. But also it's just the culture here is a lot more chill in some ways, for better or worse. And also there's in with a stark difference is, even though Westlake and Ignatius are, you know, mostly predominantly white, Ignatius still has a little more diversity than Westlake, and both because of its presence in the near west side of Cleveland and of all the people it attracts, while Westlake is just everyone in its city limits. So that's kind of been my, you know, background and experience of what where I was before I came to Ignatius and what I kind of got myself into, both seeing similarities and differences.
Well, what truly like led you to St. Ignatius High School, or when did you first hear about the school?
I knew about the school for a while. The first time I went here, I think, was because there was, I was in fifth or sixth grade. They had a kind of a baseball summer camp thing. That wasn't the best experience, but it was cool enough. And Ignatius, I remember, reminded me of, like, the big tower reminded me of Hogwarts from the Harry Potter movies. Like, it was just crazy to see how, like, this was the actual high school. But I didn't really want or think to go there. And the next time it really came up was right in eighth grade, right around when an open house is. And I didn't want to go originally. And my mom kind of just made me, she's like, you got to do this. Just do it for your grandma. Because my grandma's husband went here, who was my grandpa, who I never knew. He died in the 90s. And then I also had other cousins and relatives who went here, not a direct lineage or parentage like a lot of kids have, but you know, I had a link, and I'm like, okay, I'll go. And it was really cool, and all the opportunities in both the academics and extracurriculars, especially, and the campus itself attracted me. And both with that and kind of just realizing I had an option other than staying with the same kids who I never had a pleasant experience with at my old school, you know, pushed me enough to take the exam, do well with that, and I guess work my way into Ignatius. And that's how I ended up going here. I was never one of the people who planned on always wanted to, or kind of always was forced to go here. It was more of a last minute decision for me.
Yeah, it's interesting because personally, I think I'm kind of in the middle of that. Like, I was introduced to Ignatius in fifth grade with the Majors program, and it just kind of slowly built up. I really had not even my dad knew about Ignatius, and he went to Benedictine. So it kind of shows how kind of weird the spread of St. Ignatius can go. How some people, even if they're close, don't hear about it, while others do. But yeah, I kind of slowly got to wanting to go here. But how about you, Joe? What got you first introduced to St. Ignatius?
So it was kind of an interesting story. So I know I mentioned that I went to St. Rocco's for grade school, but I actually only went there for a year. So it was eighth grade. I actually came here and I went straight to a school called Cleveland College Preparatory over on the east side on Fleet Avenue. So while I was there, that was just a regular public school. While I was there, my mom heard about Ignatius at work, and she originally thought it was a grade school, so she was trying to like have me transfer there. But as soon as she found out that it was a Catholic high school and such, like, we just started researching about like Catholic high schools and what it takes to get in them. And so I decided to transfer into St. Rocco's, since it would give me like a, I guess, like a smoother way, like transition into Ignatius, where I, like, if I got in. So yeah, I got into St. Rocco's. I've always like wanted to do something better for myself. Like, I always wanted to work hard and get somewhere in life. So I just worked really hard and got the best grades I could. And I was blessed enough to get in, and here I am. Yeah.
Well, after you got here, was there anything that really hit you guys, like for good or worse? Like, what was the first thing that really hit you or struck you?
That's a good question. There's a lot of things, mainly positive. I would say that the largest, like the biggest thing that struck me was that each teacher, like every teacher, like, I don't know if it makes sense, like they look like they like their job. Like, they legit like enjoy being here teaching their students. They like, every teacher has like a long, like a relationship outside of academics with the school, whether that's through athletics or through extracurriculars. And they are truly like, aware of their students, and they want to know you like good so that they can provide the best education, have the best relationship with you. Like, I always try to do my best in school academically. But if I were to like miss something, if I was struggling, like I always got like would get an email or like something like right away, like asking me if something was like wrong or if they could help me. And I just think that's kind of cool. And I don't think at any other high school you would get that, or maybe just a couple, but Ignatius just does a great job at that.
How about you, Ian?
There was a few things that did stick out to me. I think, at least one, that the main thing that me that really struck me, and I knew I was getting into, but I just wasn't prepared for it because I never went to a Catholic grade school, was just all the, I guess, the Catholicness of it all. I was pretty really familiar with the faith because my grandma, especially, we were close to her, and I went to mass with her a lot growing up. But just hearing like things like prayer over the announcements and prayer before class and that kind of stuff, especially growing up in like both public schools and the Protestant Unitarian type family, just was a little bit of a culture shock. But I got that, I adjusted to that pretty quick, and it helped to know how like mass went and stuff. I can only imagine how it was for people who had no experience or familiarity with it. The other things were both in just the general population of the students, both in that how many kids there were. And there were a lot of kids in my grade school, especially compared to other schools. There's about like 300 in each grade or so. And there's just a lot here, as well as how everyone looked the same, especially being all boys. That was, even though very similar demographic at both my schools, those are kind of both, you know, somewhat shocks for me that still used to, and it becomes more of a passing or unconscious kind of thought now, but it took a little bit to get used to at first.
Well, going in a little bit deeper, back to MSU, what does it mean to you, and why did you approach a leadership role in the club?
For me, just for what it means to me, but I kind of found out about it. I heard about it in the announcements and the description and, you know, the name. It wasn't one of the clubs I remember at Open House, but it sounded interesting with the things I already knew I liked. I'm like, okay, this sounds cool. Montauk, different cultures, a lot of different, like, that's something I'd be interested in. When I asked the kid, because this was when I was in band at the time. I was in band for my first 2 years here. And I asked the kid who was a junior, like, what is it? Or whatever, like, what do you know about it? Are you in it? It's like, he said it's the Black Kids Club, basically. And that was a little shocking. And I soon found out that wasn't an uncommon attitude had then, and probably isn't all too uncommon now. But as that year progressed, with Mr. Reed and Mr. Sanders being in charge, and then from the years on with Mr. Sanders as moderator and the various different student leaderships we've had, it's really become not just a, you know, extracurricular organization that good premise, looks good on my transcript and stuff, colleges, and I can say, well, I was part of this. It's really something I do enjoy coming to and going back to, not just because of the work we do, but because of the people I'm with, both Joe, both Everett, a lot of the other people who graduated, the people in now, we have become some of my best and closest friends, and that's been worth it completely. And that has been despite how good or, you know, maybe poor it's been going, because I remember freshman year, you and me, Everett, it was just you, me, and Mr. Reed staring at each other in the college counseling room when we had our meetings there one time. Yeah. That was one of the lowest points for the organization when the people showing up were just almost nobody. But we have
grown. It's definitely grown, yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely grown. And Mr. Reed suggested, for the leadership part, Mr. Reed suggested it by the end of that year. And I was end of freshman year, and I was, like, shocked. I'm like, you want me to do this? Like, isn't there, like, 10 people ahead of me who are, you know, more experienced, older, do this better? He says, like, I think you could do it. And I ran, and I never got a position till this year. But it's felt really natural, because the feeling when I was first asked by him and even had the consideration in my mind about it, like, of the shock and, like, fear and, like, I don't want to do this. With over the past years of my own personal growth and just any that kind of stuff, like, when I, you know, ran for and apply to be president this year, that just kind of fit really naturally, and so is the role. So I think with over time and growth, a lot of these things, if it's who you are and what you're meant for, then they'll kind of come to you easily as time goes on.
Mm-hmm. And could you name any of your favorite moments a part of MSU?
Definitely. My sophomore or junior year, I believe it was sophomore year, when we saw the screening for The Hate U Give, at the Shaker Heights, the movie theater there, and we had the dialogue with Cleveland and other nearby city police officers, commissioners, and even Cleveland CPD union reps. I got in somewhat of an explosive, intense confrontation with them after they had their own, they just couldn't answer questions straight and provided either, you know, misinformation, non-answers, things like that were just taking away from the discussion you're meant to have. And that kind of, rush of feeling I had and calling them out as well as, you know, moving that discussion along was definitely one of my favorite moments. As well as just a lot of the just great moments we've shared, whether it be in a different cultural celebration or meetings, there really has not been like a bad moment. There's certainly been boring ones. It's not fun all the time we have work we do, but it's definitely been worthwhile as far as I can think back. I've never not enjoyed being in it.
Well, back to Joe, what does MSU mean to you, and why did you approach a leadership role?
So kind of similar to Ian's approach to it. I approached the leadership position because of what it meant to me, mainly. Coming in as a freshman, I did play football, so I knew a couple of people, but those people were like very different to me culturally and obviously like physically and everything. So yeah, they were my friends, but we didn't really understand each other much. We didn't get to hang out outside of school or anything. So in that sense, I still felt kind of segregated. And as soon as I found MSU, like I said before, it taught me how to embrace my culture and allow it to sort of guide me through like Ignatius and how to like make it feel like a family for 4 years. So like after I found that out, it was just like I remember like whenever Mr. Sanders and those like people that graduated ahead of me already, how they welcomed me in and what they did in order to make me feel welcomed and everything. And I always appreciated that, and I wanted to pass that forward. So I picked up on the idea of joining MSU as a leader in order to like help those students who like me were felt segregated or didn't feel like they really like fit into this like Ignatius atmosphere, I guess. And just like, I don't know, I really enjoy like meeting new people and like younger students, talking to them, making them like feel welcomed and asking them how they're doing, how they're adapting to this place, because it's truly a great place. Like, don't get me wrong, Ignatius is like it's still one of the best decisions I've made in my life to come here, and I'm never gonna regret that. So you just kind of need, sometimes you kind of need like a, I guess like a push in order to settle in better and actually like prosper and flourish as a student here. So I just kind of wanted to be that little push for students, not just minorities, but any student who needed a solid foundation in order to like flourish at Ignatius.
Yeah, I totally agree with both of you. And like, just as a quick synopsis, because especially for our audience, because I myself was a part of, am a part of MSU as a co-secretary. And yeah, I've been here since freshman year. Half of it is because my dad really wanted me to join this club. And the other half is just because I was a bit interested in, you know, seeing where, I don't know, like-minded people would be, and just trying to do new things at the school. So Yeah, I agree with both of you in that it gives there's a lot of passion that comes with being here, and it's one of the only things that we find our we've found ourselves really keying in into. And yeah, as a segue, this might hit a little home, but have you ever felt discriminated against in the school or out of school?
Like, in all honesty, no, not really. Ignatius is like, it does a great job, and MSU together, like, partners with Ignatius and promoting, like, it's already a Catholic tradition, and within the Catholic tradition is the themes of acceptance, loving one another, treating each other with respect, and MSU just like promotes new cultures and allows people to see that there are things out there that like are other cultures out there like that aren't maybe similar to yourself, but that doesn't matter. Like, you can hang out with people who don't look like you, who don't play the same sport as you, who don't like the same things as you, and still be like best friends. Like, I have friends that are on the football team. I have friends who, obviously, friends in MSU, friends from work, and a lot of them are very different from each other. But it doesn't matter, as long as you keep a pure like heart and are open to be with one another, then it'll be easier in life as well. And it's more productive, to be honest. It's like more efficient as rather than like being, I don't know, closed minded and not even giving those people a chance in your life. So yeah, I've never really felt discriminated here at Ignatius, thankfully. But I certainly like have heard of cases where some of my friends have, and like, I guess like, yeah, there have been like jokes here and there that maybe aren't like appropriate, I guess, but it's not really discrimination. Like, I've never been kept out of something because of my race or where I come from, nothing like that, thankfully. Yeah,
I do really appreciate how I think the faith does play a huge role in how fair it does seem to be here. To be honest, I won't say my experience has been perfect, but it's a lot better than some of my other grade schools. Like when I went to Wade Park in public school, I had a hard time there, which was probably a lot worse than how it's been now. And I think that comes with the stereotype that the school has with it being a racist institution. But considering the strides we may make to really home in on diversity and inclusion, that stereotype just falls flat once you look a little deeper than the race demographic of the school. But how about you, Ian? Have you ever felt discriminated against?
I've definitely. So here's the thing. I think when we think of discrimination, we almost always think of some sort of conscious and willfully decision to treat more of an underprivileged or protected class of people, like in America, whether that be Black people, Hispanic people, women, differently. And I think everybody's been judged by everybody. And I think unless more or less the degree of it is different depending on the situation, but unless you live in a almost, if not completely, homogeneous and identical society with little to no interaction with people of other groups, then you likely have either discriminated or been discriminated or both. And it gets a lot, I think there's a lot of, how I put this, a lot of different variation to it. It's not like a completely like broad same level thing, like what a discriminating against one person because of this part of their identity is going to be the same degree of harm as another. Like I've definitely noticed, like, well, whenever we have mass and I go up to, you know, they have the received communion and they have everyone who's non-Catholic crossed their arms. And the looks you get when you walk back has always been really intriguing. And once people like kind of know and associate that with you, it's definitely, it's something more you feel. I've really never been like outwardly discriminated against for at least like completely unironically. I know a lot of people here have, especially people who don't fit the demographic of not just being white or Catholic, but also their socioeconomic status, not being straight, things like that. I think it really depends like where you're at and what you're doing. And like I was saying, there's a difference between what goes from being judged and prejudiced to taking the action of discriminated against. But I really can't see I have in a severe way. As for like what Joe was talking about with the institution of Ignatius as a whole, is it an outwardly, you know, racist institution like ones we think of like Daughters of the Confederacy or, you know, things like that which were kind of built on those, you know, racist premises and legacies? No. Is it in both contexts of its own history and place in history and location and time as times progressed, benefited and been a part of the overall just white supremacy and just how things have been, and basically same old business and usual stuff in America? Yeah, it started to serve a group of more underclass kids, Irish, poor Irish or German West Side kids, but that's changed over the years. Now we serve a lot of different kind of kids, including Irish and German ones who are more upper class. And we can always point to both recent and dated examples of, you know, outward and more inward and kind of hidden discrimination. So I think when it says a racist institution, it's not a racist institution in terms of that's what it's built upon and its roots and it will always be, but it is definitely like just about almost any other institution founded in and are benefited by white people. It's going to be racist just by that definition alone. And we have definitely made work. It's not like Joe was saying, it's not, and you were saying, it's not like the brush completely, the stereotype somewhat falls flat. But we definitely have a lot of issues here. And the culture itself is probably the hardest battle of things to change, because that's something that's ingrained both in the conscious and the subconscious of people's minds, that it's not as easy as taking down, like, you know, whites only signs and changing demographics by admitted students. It's a lot more work and thinking that goes involved with that. But I think Ignatius has shown that it has, not just because of its longevity and supposed prestigiousness, but because of the experience I've had and the ones I've seen from other students, it is shown to be, it has potential to remain a worthwhile institution for people despite that. Is it for everyone? No, absolutely not. But it is worth keeping around for the benefits it brings. But we should not be dishonest with ourselves about the, you know, the issues it has.
Yeah, I like how you bring up the point that discrimination is not just about race alone. It's about cultural identity and Social economic status too. It's a lot of factors that go into it. This is a, and I think that's one of the mistakes that people get with MSU, that, like you said, it's just the black kids group, but there is like a significant Hispanic population and a significant Hispanic population within in the club too. And it's not just, even though race and the ethnicity can be seen from a lot of our efforts, I think they're missing the point. People miss the point and the true goal of the club is just to bring people together, I think. And speaking of issues, what cultural, social, or systemic problems have improved at the school, and which ones do you think haven't improved at all?
I guess I'll go first. Issues, obviously, like, the diversity of the school is one of the biggest issues, like, you can just see whenever you walk around campus. You can tell that it's not as diverse as maybe should, I guess. But just with, like, like the I personally have seen, like, the freshman classes have added more diversity, like more African-American students, more Hispanic students. And something that maybe it's not talked about as much are, like, the Welsh Academy. That's just, like, a huge stepping stone, in my opinion, towards progress at St. Ignatius. And, like, according to, like, in the sense of, like, diversity and promoting inclusion of students. So, like, I was just there, like, the other day for an open house, and it was my first time in the building. And, I like, it's a very nice building. But just, like, the atmosphere there, it's just, like, it's another family. Like, that's something that Ignatius does well. Like, it makes everything feel not just, like, an institution that you come here, like, at 8 and leave at 3, and it's just, like, something that you have to do every day. Like, people are genuinely excited to come here, and for an institution to make 11, 12, 13-year-olds, or even younger than that, be excited to come to school and want to be, like, here and, like, look forward to being in high school, to me, that's just a great thing, especially, like, for kids in the inner city of Cleveland who might be discouraged just because of where they go to school or where they live. You might not feel as safe as maybe they would like to be. But I don't know. To me, like, that the Welsh Academy has been, like, a milestone in the progression of, like, diversity at St. Ignatius. And I wish I can one day come back and see how, like, in 10, 20 years, how it develops. Maybe even become a part of it in some way. I don't know. That's one of the things that I've seen, like, progress throughout my years here at Ignatius.
Yeah, I can agree with more, because the Welsh Academy, I haven't been too involved with it, but I just know how much this really means for the school and kind of how much the school kind of needs it. It's really, I could tell it's really going to jumpstart the spread of the goodness of the school and really increase the diversity within the school too. And besides, I think we needed a little more noise in the school. Like, kind of, it's kind of off topic, but, like, it's always felt a little quiet before the Welsh Academy came here, when people go from class to class and stuff. But, you know, having a bunch of kids around is not all that bad when they're having fun. And from what I hear, they're really taking this opportunity to really home in on their academics too. So nothing bad's coming out of Welsh Academy as far as I know. How about you, Ian? Are there any cultural, social, systemic problems that improved at the school, or which ones haven't improved?
like a lot of the things I've said, and just in general, I think it's a mix. We've definitely improved in diversity in terms of the actual numbers, more overall admitted people, and just kids who would fit diverse backgrounds or cultures on accepted applications and stuff. The Welsh Academy, like Joe said, is just a great part in addition to that, in both expanding the roots of Ignatius and just also, you know, adding even more of that kind of population. However, we still have a lot of issues with, you know, especially the more day-to-day, smaller kind of stuff. Things have definitely changed for the better. And yes, you should only get, you know, so excited for or hopeful for changes like only so far, because otherwise you're going to get your hopes down, disappointed either way. But it then comes down to, like, well, how much is enough? And is, if it's moving at this pace and this small increase, is the exchange even worth it? I think, like I was mentioning earlier, the culture is the hardest thing. When, yes, Ignatius has been increasing its numbers and people, but the quotas and numbers only are a start, if at all. From us familiar with history with the civil rights movement and the end of segregation, at least legalized, and what was integration after that, it really wasn't integration in terms of how it went. Integration itself failed, not just because of the resistance and the kind of collapse of it and the white flight, but both in that they really should have named it assimilation instead, because the problem wasn't just that people of the different, you know, mainly then black people, but others were going to be in schools and stuff with them. That was part of it. But it wasn't solely the amount of melanin, it was the whole identity of those people, who they were, their different culture, and just the identity they've taken from their history of trying to survive and live despite the countless restraints put on them legally, illegally, and socially, and through all these different means. And that itself is threatening. And there, and especially in over time, in general, white people have been a lot, they're just fine with people of those, especially white liberals, like Martin Luther King and Malcolm X talks about, they're just fine with people who of those different cultures, as long as A, they don't perceive a threat to them, which means in turn B, that their, you know, their cultural identity and ethnic identity isn't so flagrant and against their own, or as some might say, lack of identity, but it's still an identity. And that, you know, it's not too much of a contrast, or it doesn't speak out against it. And that's why I was saying it should be called assimilation, because integration would mean that, you know, there's actual healthy, well, maybe not healthy, but actual mix of those different peoples together. And that obviously didn't happen. And for the times it did, like, we look at, yes, it's great that we have these numbers again, but look at schools like Shaker, who have even higher numbers than we probably will ever have. They have around a 50-50 or so of black and white students, they're co-ed. But they still have a lot of issues, similar to us even, and not more in some regards. And a year or so ago, I remember students expressing frustration there, was a senior at the time, over the crap that they were dealing with, both from students within and teachers, and how just overall mostly the black and kids and the white kids stick to themselves. Yet they're still 50-50 in the school. At Ignatius, a lot of the black and Hispanic kids hang together in their own groups, and the white kids hang by themselves. And there's I remember that really being evident, not in just of how people sit together at lunch and interact with each other, but a poem, a a senior who's a member of MSU as well, an ironic poem he wrote for English, but it wasn't all too ironic. It was supposed to be satire, but it hit a little too close to home because it spoke about we should just bring segregation back because, like, look at Ignatius. They don't even sit together anyways and interact with each other and friends with each other. They're already separated. So we might as well, you know, be realistic, be honest with ourselves, and just make it legal, you know, legalize it and do it through a legal process, which, of course, most of us are like, that's, you know, not going to lead to anything good, but it makes you think how much has really changed since then and how much is even possible to change and just where, how those cultures, you know, this white culture, American white culture has developed over the past centuries, to where can it really be changed and molded to where these things are possible. I hope I'm wrong, because I've gotten more, you know, cynical and stuff in some areas, but just the rate of slow progress, you know, march that goes one way, and then just the host of problems that come back to push it the other way, doesn't apply as to Ignatius especially, as well as, you know, America and the world in general. So there honestly, things have gotten better here in a lot of, I think, necessary and long overdue ways. But it's, I really don't like hearing from anybody that, you know, because of especially the prominence was, like Everett, you said, you think it's good we need a little noise literally. I think it's good we have a little noise literally, as well as especially this summer when there's a lot of noise to wake people up and make sure they couldn't ignore it anymore about the issues that I discussed and others, among others. That things are like, they're very far from improving overall.
Yeah, it looks like, yeah, it's overall, it's a lot deeper than what many people think, want to think. It's a lot easier to think of all these problems as on the surface level. But yeah, as you said, it's just really deep, and you it might never be perfect, but Joe, is there anything else you'd like to add before we close off?
I just want to say that MSU is really has a stereotype that it's, yeah, for only minority kids, and the majority of the club is like minority kids who belong to, who are African American or Hispanic, but we're really a club that welcomes anybody who is willing to hear about different cultures, who needs help adapting to Ignatius, who has ideas on what to, like, how to work on projects outside of, like, Ignatius in order to, like, promote, I don't know, like, better, like, equality and things for people who need it. So it's really an organization that it's much more than just getting together and talking about issues. We're really a family, and we invite anybody who is curious and wants to learn. And it's been one of the best experiences I've had at Ignatius. I really don't regret anything about it. So yeah, if you're curious or want to find out, you can communicate with me. I'm sure Ian would not mind getting an email about it either, or Mr. Sanders as well. We're always open, but yeah, that's pretty much it.
Yeah, one thing I like to add too is that I think after, even though we'll be gone, I think at this rate, MSU will really be on a trajectory to changing a lot of the things in school. I think we'll see a lot of changes within the next 4 years too, for good. Well, it's been a pleasure seeing you two. I'm glad you guys are hanging in there through this pandemic. Yeah. Another Ellen Hood with Ian Healy and Joe Salinas Rosa. and this is The Melting Pot.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.